This week on Let's Get Mental, we're going to talk about anxiety, some of the symptoms, some of the causes, some of the complications, and how you're going to tackle these.
We're also going to talk about why me and Keith shouldn't be let loose near a pet shop.
Cue intro.
His name's Keith. Her name's Jenna. Together, they are getting mental.
Welcome, everybody, to Let's Get Mental.
Episode 3, Jenna. Episode 3. Who would have thought? And this week we're talking about...
Anxiety.
Excellent. We've got a guest. Who's our guest?
A lovely lady called Hillary that's had to deal with anxiety for most of her life.
So Hillary is someone that we've worked with for a long time on the De-Stress Project and also as part of the Low Mood Group, a fellow anxietian. I don't know if that's just a made up. So yeah, hello.
Hello.
If you want to get in touch, the email address is letsgetmentaluk@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to us on, or drop us a comment in the comment section, leave us a review, a like, however it works. I'm not technically minded.
So Keith, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
Not a lot really. Been planning and executing a birthday, an 18th for my oldest.
I hope, yeah.
Yeah, my firstborn. It's his 18th birthday, so yeah, it's been fun. We've been out and had a look at some Doctor Who tattoos, because now he's 18, he wants a Doctor Who tattoo, so he's going to get a Doctor Who sleeve.
I've looked on Google as well, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, how about yourself?
I bought a snake.
Oh.
It was for my son's birthday, but it was a bit of an early birthday present,
right.
Secretly for me, because it is awesome.
What type of snake?
It's only a little corn snake, but it's a snow species, so it's an albino, and it's proper cute. We're getting a whole new little collection of albino parents, maybe, don't know.
You never know.
Albino pets in our house, so we've got an albino rabbit, and now we've got a snake.
What's the next on the list then? Have you got like a pet list that you're executing slowly? No, that sounds bad. It sounds like you're executing pets.
RSPCA.
Do you have a list of pets that you are collecting slowly?
I think I've got a little bit of a problem of over-collecting, actually, because I've just been looking at tortoises.
Ooh, can you get albino tortoises?
You can, they're really rare, but you can get them.
I know there's snails out there. You can get albino snails.
Yes, I do know that. The big African ones, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Seem to be in our house, I feel.
You've got your own little collection of pets, haven't you?
Yeah, we got 2 rats, 2 hamsters, a cat, a dog. Wait a second, don't you have a chocolate lab?
Well, we've already thought about that in our family, and there is a thing called pet hair dye, so we might give him a little bleach, so he looks like an albino.
Don't judge. No, judge, don't hate. Leave it in the comment section. Email us. If you don't like this, email us. Tell us all about it in the email section.
But don't tell the RSPCA, because I love my dog.
We're talking about anxiety, obviously. Some of the symptoms for anxiety. So should we start with you, Hillary?
Yeah.
What are some of the symptoms that you notice?
Oh, lots of different things. Shaking, sweating, feeling dizzy, feeling a bit spaced out. Often feel, when I'm anxious, that I've got to run to the toilet. Panic attacks, especially at night, which are horrendous.
Is there certain, talking about at night, but is there certain situations or times of day that it's heightened?
I think a lot of things make me anxious. It can be going shopping on my own, doing the school pickup. So it's mostly throughout the day for me, pretty much ongoing.
And what do you think makes you have panic attacks at night time? What's so different about the night time?
I think when it's quiet and you can sit there, lie there, and you're thinking and you can't get to sleep, I think your mind goes into overdrive and you think lots of horrible thoughts. And then I just get this, because it's dark, I get this crushing sensation that I'm suffocating.
Right, okay.
And then it just goes from there. And because it's dark, I think it's worse. I just feel closed in and, yeah, terrible. It's worse at that side of it's worse at night.
Do you think that's a separate, I suppose it's all sort of related, but the overthinking is a separate thing, or do you think that's the overthinking causes the anxiety, or the anxiety causes the overthinking?
That's like a chicken and the egg, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think the anxiety probably causes the overthinking for me.
And is that something that's triggered dependent on the day that you've had?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's worse on certain days are going to be a lot worse than other
days.
Yeah,
if I've done something that I think has caused me anxiety, then it pretty much it carries on the whole day.
Right, okay, so it's not just a quick, while you're in the shop, for instance, or anything like that, that can just have a knock-on effect for your whole day, can
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think has worked for you to deal with anxiety? So obviously there's certain situations and times where you mm-hmm. have to go out on your own.
Yeah.
What do you have, like a something that you do in your head, like you talk yourself through something, or?
I think I just try to blank my head out, and I just think of all the people I work with in the low mood group, my mates, because I know they'll be supporting me even if they're not there. So I try to think nice thoughts and just try and get the whatever I've got to do over and done with as quick as possible.
Do you ever get the feeling that you're just tired and fatigued and you want to sleep the day away? Is that something that you experience?
Definitely. This week I've gone back to bed every day except yesterday. So, yeah, I think whether it tires you out, all the worrying, and I don't know, or whether you just want to go to sleep so you don't have to cope with it,
yeah.
One or the other, really.
Yeah, like a little escape from life kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to know what causes that, because obviously there's so many different things that can cause, like, the tiredness and the fatigue and all that sort of stuff. So we talked about depression last week.
Yeah.
That has an effect on it. And anxiety, it's hard to... I mean, I get loads of anxiety. I don't go out on my own and things like that. So, but I didn't recognise that that was anxiety. I just didn't know why in my head I didn't want to go out, or I was tired, or for whatever reason it was. So.
Yeah.
I think there's certain factors that you can have that you can attribute to other medical things, and it's so hard to diagnose. For me personally, it was hard to know what was going on in the respect of anxiety.
Yeah.
And knowing how I felt and associating that with anxiety.
I think to be honest, I've had it so long, I just attribute a lot of it to being the type of person I am, like a worrier and quite sensitive and things like that.
Have you always felt quite anxious about certain situations, or is this thing that's progressed on?
I never thought I did in childhood. I always worried about certain things and tried to compensate for those things by having coping tactics. But
yeah.
I didn't think I felt anxious, but I think it's quite a hard thing to recognise as a child, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I for me personally, I always thought it was due to, like, a lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I always used to put myself in situations that made me anxious to try and build my confidence when it wasn't even that in the first place. So I remember that the first time I took that step was signing up as one of the governors at a local school, and literally just, like, the worst thing I could have done, because it was just like anxiety straight to 100,000
yeah.
in, you know. In,
yeah.
And then you go to that meeting and there's all these people there, and, you know, you got to talk in front of all them people. It's just like, it was like...
You threw your words, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously I didn't know, again, I just thought it was a lack of confidence, and I thought that would build confidence, but, yeah, no, that didn't really work.
I think there is a therapy that has that same kind of method, but it works up gradually, and you've got to expose yourself to that a certain amount of times, like 4 times in that situation. But I think you just threw yourself in the deep end, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, therapies and stuff obviously work for certain people, but I don't know whether, like, for me, being autistic, I don't know whether that's something I could never, it would never change, because I can do the same thing over and over and over again, and it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, something as simple as driving somewhere, and I don't even have to get out of my car, and I still have the exact same thing, and I still, you know, I can obviously do things, but I prefer to have somebody with me when I do it. So I don't know whether that's just me, whether it's, you know, a combination of things, or I don't know. What's yours?
It's funny, isn't it? Because I've had the therapy, and when you go back every week, it's like they ask you, so nothing bad happened. So where's the evidence for your anxiety? But it doesn't work like that.
No.
Not for me.
Well, it's irrational.
Yeah.
You know, it's silly. Like, so I have to go into town to pick up something from a shop, and I know nothing's going to happen. I know nothing bad's going to happen, but that doesn't stop you being anxious about things.
Exactly.
You know, it's
yeah.
not a rational thought.
I think what they're trying to do is obviously challenge that thought process. And I think maybe some people are able, that works, and you can challenge that and then rationalise it in your head. But I think, like you said, a lot of people, it's not a rational thought, and even though you know it's not a rational thought, it still happens anyway.
Yeah, that's my experience, yeah.
Did you look down other routes before you realised it was anxiety? So did you think, like, maybe it was panic attacks? Or did you think it was, like, something that had happened, or, you know?
I, at the time, when it first started happening, I thought it was due to having a stressful job, and one day it all got too much and I just walked out and went to the doctors, and it went from there, really. And it's never really gone away. But I think sometimes, like you say, it's irrational, but I think if I'm... Well, it's like anybody, I suppose. If you feel you're in danger, you feel fear, and you can't help how you feel, can you?
Yeah, it goes back to that fight or flight thing, doesn't it? Yeah.
So for you, is it not something you've had? You've had it all your life.
I've had it for a lot of years. But just not,
has it gotten worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I've got older.
I noticed when mine got worse was when I stopped smoking and drinking. I could go through a bottle of Bacardi every night. I could smoke 20 to 40 fags a day. Like, I would go to the shop. If I was going to the shop, I'd have a cigarette before leaving the house. I'd drive to the shop, I'd get out of the car, I'd have a cigarette when I got out of the car. I'd walk around the shop, I'd get out of the shop, and I'd have a cigarette before I drove home. And it was like using that to, which I didn't know at the time, but that's what it was doing. It was relieving anxiety, I suppose.
Yeah, it's your coping strategy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think this affects the quality of your life? Do you think that anxiety holds you back in certain aspects?
Oh, definitely. Because I think with it, you get a lot of self-doubt, and you think, whether it's true or not, you think that other people doubt you. Not so much your friends and people that experience it, but people that don't. I think you get judged. I mean, it could be something like if at work you think you're always the bottom of the pecking order because they see you as being weak.
Yeah.
And also, it does hold you back in life. You want to do stuff and sometimes you just can't do it. I think it affects your relationships. It makes me irritable.
Yeah.
And snappy.
And I think a lot of people get that irritability and they don't realise that's anxiety. Because I was always irritable, moody, angry. That was like my default emotion. I didn't think that was anxiety. I thought that was me having an anger issue until I explained it to the doctor and she said, oh no, it can come out in many ways and irritability is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I think most people think of anxiety as having a panic attack or can't catch your breath or not wanting to leave a social...
Quick thing.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, a very quick thing. So it's a little episode. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
But I think mine got worse when I had children. So then all my worry, because I was a worrier anyway, but when you don't have nothing to really worry about when you're a teenager and stuff, it's all little things. Well, mine was anyway. When you do have children, you have these little people to look after and keep alive, then that's when your worrying personality comes out, and I think that did trigger my anxiety.
Yeah, because you love these little people so much.
Yeah,
you want to do everything you can, and it's hard to protect them from everything in life, isn't it? And you want to, yeah.
Yeah, and as simple as you didn't read their learning book with them or something like that, and then you go into the school and they said, oh, you haven't read their book today, and then you feel like a failure as a mum, but there's probably half the class's mum and dad that hadn't had the opportunity to read for them that night.
I think trying to fight the anxiety is a full-time job in itself, and then finding that 2 minutes is really difficult.
And sometimes because you're worrying about certain things or you're trying to multitask daily life, it doesn't even pop into your head to stop and do that thing until they're in bed or you've calmed down, or and then you think, oh, no way, I've forgotten again.
Yeah, it's easy
to do. And there's other things as well that you can chuck on top of that as well. So if there's things that you would do with your kids that the anxiety stops because of the nature of it, it's, you know, it just makes you worry about 100 times. Like, so for example, if you had to take them to swimming lessons or something, the anxiety of just getting them in the car and driving them to swimming lessons, or the anxiety of, like, you know, having to talk to somebody at the swimming lessons, or, you know, having to justify something because you turned up late, or, you know, any little number of things can just turn into such big things. Yeah. But you don't, you know, it's massive things to an overthinker and somebody that gets anxiety.
Yeah.
But somebody that doesn't have that, it's like trivial.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, nothing at all.
Yeah, well, why are you getting worked up like that? It's something you can't explain to somebody who's got that attitude to it.
And I think as well, mine used to be triggered like children do. They hide in clothes in the supermarket or whatever they do. And most parents go, oh, right, okay, rationally, they've probably not gone far. They probably can see me because they're not panicking. And they have a little look. Me, I go straight to someone's kidnapped them, taking them away. They're in a car. They're already 200 miles away, all because I've turned my back to pick up a tin of beans or something.
Yeah, that's more guilt.
Yeah, and it definitely is. It makes you have that bit of self-loathing, I think.
Yeah.
Where you think that you're doing everything wrong.
You think you're not doing it as good as everybody else.
Yeah, so it's a little bit evil.
Yeah.
And is it building on that as well? There's other things that go along with that that's completely irrational. I know that's not obviously what you're saying is irrational in a sense, but there's some sort of logic behind it.
Yeah.
But like, it also will take you to the other end. Really stupid things
spirals
that are never going to happen in a million years. You just think of every single possibility and you sort of work on that.
Yeah, your thoughts just spiral out of control, don't they?
So what would you say if I obviously suffer from anxiety and I didn't know that? What would you say would be the signs or symptoms to look out for from your point of view, Hilary?
It's hard, isn't it? Because a lot of the anxiety is internal stuff and a lot of people can't actually see it, so they don't think you're anxious. I would say avoidance.
So when you say avoidance?
Maybe avoiding certain things.
So like it's maybe taking your kid to a birthday party or job interview?
Or making an excuse, even though you know you want to go and you want to do it. Mine's definitely having to keep rushing to the toilet, which I can laugh about it, but it is one minute you're there, one minute you're gone from your group. But I think sometimes you can just look at. So I think if you've experienced it, I think you can just look at somebody and think you look anxious.
Yeah.
I think you've got a sixth sense, really.
I've never had a panic attack as such. Like one of those ones like traditional described to you is your breath's taken away, you can't catch it back again, your heart's racing, and I've never had that. All I've had is this really horrible feeling of doom and panic. So like something really, really bad's gonna happen. And this can come on without anything happening. So I'm at home, my kids are playing, everybody's safe, everybody's sound, but in my stomach I've got that butterfly, horrible churning feeling that actually something bad's gonna happen soon. And for me, that makes me really irritable. And to everybody else on the outside that's talking to me, thinks, well, why are you having a nice time? Why are you getting agitated? But in my head, I'm already overthinking everything and thinking, why am I feeling like this? And it's a horrible feeling. It's like a dread.
It's awful, and it's a pit of your stomach. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say the complications of having anxiety? So earlier on you said about avoiding the situation, so sometimes does that make you more socially isolated? Or
yeah, I think I only really will be with people that I feel 100% comfortable with. So if there's other things going on, like you're getting an invite somewhere but you don't really know people, that's a definite no-no. So obviously then you feel guilty that you're restricting your family to doing things, and the anxiety makes you tired, so you feel you can't do certain things anyway, then you feel guilt for that, you feel guilt for being irritable, you feel guilt about everything, really. It's and then of course when you've got all the guilt, that's all internalized and you feel rubbish anyway, and it's just round and round in a circle,
which in turn then leads to depression.
Yeah.
And anxiety and depression a lot of the time go hand in hand.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say, actually.
Thank you. I've got a list of things here, and a couple of that just shout a couple of them off. Obviously, one of the things we talked about is digestive or bowel problems.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's obviously a thing. I wish I'd had trouble eating, but I don't know. Does that mean in like loss of appetite? Do you ever get that?
Yeah,
I think also it's overeating as well. I think it's, you can go to one extreme to the next,
other, can't you? Yeah.
Loss of appetite and then comfort eating, which me and Keith do suffer from.
Well, I suffer from the loss of appetite, but unfortunately it does nothing for my figure.
So the other things, headaches and chronic pain, and I think we talked about pain and stuff and chemical releases in the brain last week and stuff like that, and I suppose that chronic pain and headaches are direct symptoms of anxiety because of the nature of it is all.
I suffer with chronic pain, and it's quite funny. I went to a pain management session yesterday, and when they're telling you about chronic pain, a lot of it is made worse by being tense and stressed, and and reading all the stuff they give you, yeah, I spend half the time with my teeth clenched or my shoulders up and things like that, and it is true, and I think both go hand in hand. Yeah,
and also obviously we talked about social isolation.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously substance misuse, so obviously I suppose it depends on drugs, alcohol, smoking, substance, I suppose is classed as substance misuse.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, some people use those to cope, don't they?
Yeah. And I can relate to the substance misuse, I suppose, not now, because I obviously when I had kids I kind of stopped all that.
Mm.
But I mean, I never done drugs, just to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just like a drink or a cigarette.
And looking back on that, I can see why that's probably one of the easiest things to use, because it's like an instant, like when I was feeling anxious or whatever, I would literally just have a fag, have a drink, whatever, and I'd just be like a completely different person. Mm. It's like all that just disappears. It's like,
it's a distraction at first, isn't it? And with alcohol especially, gives you that little bit more
Dutch courage.
Yeah. Yes,
and you can just go to the shop and buy it, can't you? Yeah. Quick as.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I can really see that that's probably one of the bigger ones. So I suppose, you know, if you do get anxiety and you're not aware that it is anxiety, I suppose it's trying to find other coping mechanisms, or obviously recognising that it's anxiety first, but if you know that you've got that substance misuse, or if you're socially isolated for that reason, you're making those excuses, it's trying to find other ways of coping with that, trying to retrain your brain, I suppose.
I've heard that a lot of people use exercise, but whilst that's a good one, it's never appealed to me really.
It's finding the motivation to do the exercise, and I think it's one of those things where it's a bit of a catch-22, because you're tired and you're fatigued because you're constantly overthinking or constantly anxious, and then they expect you to jump on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Or there's that anxiety that stops you getting to the gym, or just going out and going out for a run, or
people be watching me.
I think a nice dog walk or something like that, or just a nice walk if you haven't got a dog.
With a support group,
a walkie cat, other animals, or a rabbit.
Hamster.
But there's one on here that's just jumped at me, and it's problems function at school and work. And I know that you've had some issues, if you don't mind sharing them, Hills, with work.
Quite funnily enough, I work for a mental health charity, and when I applied for the job, in the interview it was like, oh yeah, we appreciate people with lived experience, blah blah blah, which was great, and the job was great at first, but as things changed, the company got bigger, it's not so much about you as a person, and I had a few problems with bullying, which a lot of people might have been able to cope with, but when you've got anxiety, it feels 3 million times worse.
The thing is, you're already beating yourself up to a certain extent when you've got anxiety. You're already feeling rubbish. So for somebody else to be saying that, especially when you're just trying to make a living, I don't think people realise how that impacts somebody.
Yeah.
Those words.
Exactly. And I think what it is, there's no money anymore in the health service, I don't think. Sometimes I don't think the right people are employed to be managerial in that sort of environment, because they don't have any experience, either lived or otherwise, and they're put into a job and they treat it just as a business, and it's soul destroying really, when you go, especially if you work in that environment. And I went from a banking job to do this because of all the help I had when I was depressed, or have been depressed and anxious, that I thought I wanted to do something to help other people. And then when something like that happens, it totally destroys your confidence. And for me, I don't feel the same about it anymore.
The thing is, it only takes that one person to have that lack of empathy and don't relate to anything that you're going through. It's almost like, because they haven't lived with it, it's like you're making a mountain out of a molehill kind of situation.
Yeah, and because I haven't got anything that's visible, I've got a broken leg, broken arm, then it's either they don't think it is there, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which then, I suppose in turn, that's if other people aren't validating what you know, you're going through, it kind of makes you question yourself as well. Is what I'm going through, is yeah. it just, you know, obviously not made up, but is it like, am I
overreacting? Yeah.
Should I just suck it up kind of thing?
Yeah. What would everybody else do? You know, and then you query, go through your mind, everything that you've done, everything you've said, thinking, did I do anything? You know, and that again, more anxiety, vicious circle.
You live with anxiety, so what are the, I'd say, positives, factors that, you know, you obviously...
have in my life and cope with.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely boy who makes everything worth it, and when I look at him, I just try to push past it all and do stuff. I've got a fantastic group of supportive friends who always make me feel better. Lucky, I've got a supportive GP. And I think it's, some days you just want to go to bed, but when you think of all these things that you've got, you realise that, you know, you've just got to keep going.
There are positives.
Yeah.
And I think also another positive is because we are a bunch of overthinkers, I think we're very more cautious of what we say, and we can be more, just generally more kinder, I think.
I think you're right, and kinder to other people outside the group, just in general, yeah.
So I'd just like to thank Heels for coming out and talking us through her life experience.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to me, and I hope that anybody else that's suffering out there doesn't suffer in silence, and you're not alone.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So also there's alternative therapies that you can have alongside the ones that your GP gives you, the traditional CBT therapies and stuff like that, and they're called complementary therapies.
Complementary? What's a complementary therapy? Is that someone that follows you around all day telling you you look good or you've done a great job at something?
That'd be great, wouldn't it? No, it's basically things that are not as traditional, so like acupuncture, massage therapy, reflexology, yoga, things like that.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, so there are medical causes that can cause anxiety. So I suppose if you're not born with anxiety and you didn't have an anxiety disorder as a child, you don't have a family history of anxiety, then it could be, possible causes could be medical related, some of which include, Jenna?
Diabetes, which jumped out at me because I've never realised that it could cause that, but it can. Heart disease.
Thyroid problems such as hyperthyroidism.
Also, even though we said about drug misuse can be a complication of anxiety, it can also be a cause of it. So if that was the first thing, that might be what's causing your anxiety at the moment.
Okay, so drug misuse or withdrawal can also be a factor. I know we said about it can be a dampener, but obviously it can work both ways. And also the same thing of alcohol withdrawal, so coming off alcohol, or anxiety medications, which I suppose is a given.
Yeah, because I suppose substance misuse and stuff, that can be used to dampen your feelings, so numb you as such, but then when you're coming off it, then you start feeling all those feelings, and that could bring on anxiety.
And there are loads of anxiety therapies, if you like, not just anxiety medication, there's also...
CBT,
cognitive behavioural therapy.
Yep, so just trying to retrain your brain to think a certain way and to see that certain thought patterns are illogical.
There's art therapy.
There's also equine therapy, so you go and care for horses.
So basically just get a dog.
Yeah, because I think that is why we've got loads of pets. I honestly think that...
It's not working.
Yeah, we're not very good poster people, are we? But yeah, I think that is why people get pets, because it just takes your mind off it as well.
Dogs are supposed to be very therapeutic, or is that cats?
No, dogs.
Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, because they can be used for all sorts of things, even, like we've touched on before, autism. You can get autism dogs.
Mm. I think I have an autistic dog. My dog doesn't like being touched.
I think you do choose a pet to go with your family, they say, don't they? Yeah. Mine's scatty as you like, so probably.
Okay, so there's other things, obviously we talking ways that can help combat anxiety is peer support, which helps.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a good one. I think probably you could tag this under 99.9% of health conditions, mental or physical, is looking after your health physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Like so routines.
Eating well,
yeah, and exercise, regular exercise, getting outdoors. Those sorts of things, I think, are going to come up on every single topic you talk about. Those things are going to help, I think.
And I think if you find a group, I call it my tribe, that have similar interests and similar difficulties as well, so depression, anxiety, things like that, they have more empathy as well. So they understand why you don't want to go out, or you want to do this, or you want to do that. And they push you just the right amount to get you out the house, I think. And then also know when to just give you a cup of tea and some biscuits and leave your lane.
Thanks for listening. Tune in for next week's show when we get to talk about some acronyms.
OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
That's if I'm not too busy cleaning to turn up.
His name's Keith. Her name's Jenna. Together, they are getting mental.